chapter 17, on page 173 of your pew Bibles. Numbers 17 concerns the blossoming and giving forth of fruit, or almonds, of Aaron's rod. Hear now the reading of God's holy word, Numbers 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod. And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi. For one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom. And I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece, for each prince one according to their father's houses, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron, or the house of Levi, was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto the children of Israel, and they looked, and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, Bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels. And thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. And Moses did so as the Lord commanded him, so did he. And the children of Israel spake unto Moses, saying, Behold, we die, we perish, we all perish. Whosoever cometh anything near unto the tabernacle of the Lord shall die. Shall we be consumed with dying? Thus far the reading of the word of Almighty God from Numbers chapter 17, a very brief chapter yet very filled with instruction. Verses 1 through 7, we have the trial of the 12 rods, one for each prince to be laid up before the Lord. Now, if you recall from chapter 16, this is the continuation of that controversy. In chapter 16, we had the rebellion of Korah, of Dathan, and of Abiram. We had the false priesthood, the notion of egalitarianism. Well, we're all holy people. We can all do the same thing. Therefore, we can be priests. And you, Aaron, you take too much upon yourself. We can be part of this process. In other words, they wanted to blur the distinction between what God had said and the duties he assigned to Aaron and his sons, and what God had said over here concerning the civil government or the duties of the other Levites. They wanted all that God had given to Aaron to be theirs in common. So they were egalitarians. Everything must be equal, they thought, and they were wrong. Now, there was a plague that broke out. There was a new work that the Lord did in chapter 16 where the earth opened its mouth and they went down alive into hell, and you could hear their screamings as they went down, dead or living actually, into hell and died on their way down. But God had also already struck the people of Israel with a plague because they murmured about this, that you have killed the people of the Lord. So here, the controversy, God's intention is that he will cease the murmuring against Aaron, that they will finally come to recognize that not all is equal and not everybody has the same job. Verse 2, it says that of all their princes according to their house, so that every single tribe had one rod, in other words, one for the head of their house. Now, Aaron's name was put, it says in verse 3, upon the rod of Levi. Here the Lord is going to make a distinction between the Levitical priesthood, the ecclesiastical government, if you will, and the other tribes which handled civil matters, civil princes, in other words, versus an ecclesiastical prince in Aaron. They had these laid up in verse 4 before the testimony. Now, the word testimony has reference to God making a testament and showing us his will. That's what a testament is, the last will and testament, we usually call it. God likewise made a testament. He said, here is the blood of sprinkling on the mercy seat, and here are the Ten Commandments, my law for my people, for my family, for my children. That's why it's called the testimony. Notice that the Lord says in verse 5 that whoever he shall choose shall blossom the rod of that man. Now, kids, a rod is a branch from a tree that's severed from the tree. And what happens when you cut a branch off from a tree? Does it stay alive? No, it dies, doesn't it? And the leaves, if there are leaves on a branch that you break off to make a rod, what happens to the leaves? They all die, don't they? So what God is saying here is that when he chooses a rod, that rod will have life from the dead. So that God's choosing or God's election causes life from the dead. That's what he's saying. I will miraculously demonstrate the priesthood of Aaron, the separate ecclesiastical jurisdiction, but I will also demonstrate for you that my electing grace produces life from the dead. This is a foreshadowing then of the gospel. He also says, I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel. Now, he's not saying, as you notice there in verse 5, he's not saying all of their murmurings, but specifically those directed at Aaron as the ecclesiastical prince, as the ruler in the church. Moses then in verse 7 lays up these rods before the Lord. Verses 8 through 11, we have Aaron's rod blossom and its preservation as a memorial. Again, verse 8, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded and brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds. This is decisive. This is miraculous. Only God could do this. Only God can give life to the dead. And therefore, he says, you must understand there is a separation of jurisdiction. Now, this is very important. Some people read the Old Testament and they say, well, in the Old Testament, there was a blurring of the lines between the church or the ecclesiastical jurisdiction in Aaron and the state and the civil magistrate, because the civil magistrate punished for religious crimes. So they say there's some kind of blending. There's no separation between the jurisdictions. And they read it through the lens of the Anabaptists and say, Old Testament, bad, because God blurred those lines. Notice here, God does not blur any lines whatsoever. God will kill people who are civil magistrates for trying to invade the ecclesiastical office. He does not permit the blurring of the jurisdictions. He requires that they be separate and yet that they cooperate together, just as the family and the church are separate, but they're intended by God to cooperate together. So the church and the state are separate but required to cooperate for the glory of God and the good of the people. God has this blossoming rod put up as a token, he says in verse 10, against the rebels. Now you recall that the censers of those 250 false priests were beaten into a covering for the altar. And he said that would remind them or be a memorial. Here he goes further. He says the rod will be a sign. Now this word sign or token can mean a distinguishing mark or a signal and is used by God to refer to circumcision. It was a holy sign reminding them of God's covenant. When they would see the circumcision of Abraham and his seed, they would say, God has made a covenant with us to be our God and the God of our children. So this was a memorial. This was a token. This was a sign, even as the bread and the wine are signs, which we'll consider later. What does a sign do? Well, it points you to something else, doesn't it? Look at this. And what is it that it's pointing to? You people are not under the proper jurisdiction when you invade Aaron's priesthood, when you complain about him. You're outside of the boundary marks. I'm warning you so that you don't die to stay in your proper place. It was a sign. Now, if you were to go, let's say, to an amusement park, or you wanted to go to the beach, and you saw a sign as you were coming off the freeway that said, this beach is 10 miles, and that's the beach you're going to. 10 miles this way to the beach. You pulled off your car, you parked under the sign and said, we're here! We made it to the beach! We're under the sign! Does that make any sense? What do you want to do? You want to go and enjoy the beach. You go beyond the sign to the thing that the sign points you to. They were to remember the Lord's command and the Lord's jurisdictions that he had set up, and not end with the sign of the blossoming rod, just as we are not to end with the bread and the wine. Yes, we are to use them. God requires that we do so. God invites us to his sacraments, to his signs, but he says, go beyond them to the thing that they signify. God's intention was that they would no longer murmur and therefore become liable to death. It was God's mercy to the people of Israel that caused that rod to blossom, to remind them of the Lord's great anger against murmuring, which leads to death. But notice, do the people take God's mercy correctly? Do they say, yes, Lord, we submit ourselves to your sign. We will submit to these separate jurisdictions. We will acknowledge your goodness, that you've designed this blossoming rod to show us that we ought not to murmur, and that we therefore should submit to your providence and not die. Is that what they say? Just the opposite. Oh no, woe is me, they say. We die. We perish. We all perish if we even come close to the tabernacle. God's going to what? He's going to kill us. What did God say was the reason why he set up this sign so that they would not die? God's intention is to preserve their life, but they accuse God of seeking advantage against them to destroy them. They're contradicting God. They are dramatic. They are overreacting. They're not trusting in God's goodness. They're not heeding his commandments. They're feeling sorry for themselves. Poor us. We're all going to die, man. They're wimps. They're snowflakes. They're whiners. They're victims, rather than being believers, rather than trusting in God. If we come anything near under the tabernacle of the Lord, we shall die. I can't step foot even close to the tabernacle now. Is that what God said? No. They confuse. They go from one foolish extreme to the next. First is, we can trample all over the holy things, and we can be priests just like you can, Aaron. Now they say, well, we need to go all the way away from the tabernacle, not even get close. Is that what God said? God said, do what I say. Trust in my goodness. Use the ordinances as I command you to do them. And trust that I will bless those ordinances and not curse you with death. But they run from one fool extreme to the other. And this is the nature of unbelief. We don't hear what God says. We don't believe in his promises. We don't trust in his goodness. We don't obey his commandments. And this is why God shows us this, so that we might repent and not be like them, the Apostle Paul says. All these things are written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. God designs that we would learn from these things, take warning, and be content with his commandments and trust in his promises. Matthew Henry states, they seem to speak disparagingly, as if God was a hard master that sought advantage against them and took all occasions to pick quarrels with them, so that if they trod every so little out of the way, if they stepped ever so little beyond their bounds, they must die. And that is not the case at all. God is a pardoning God, forgiving the iniquity of his servants who serve him. But they don't think that way. They see God as harsh, God as cruel. And thus far, the explanation of Numbers 17 and Aaron's rod blossoming.